All right, and thanks for coming back again for another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am Chameleon or Chris.
And I am Darkness Tiger, or Devin.
Yeah, whatever, fuck, whatever works, whatever works.
Doesn't matter. You know, Chris, I do love your intro because there's always like that weird pause that you do, and then you start off like you're Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
That's what they call me. That's my middle name, McConaughey.
That is not what they call you. They call you Black Chris. We have proof
Yeah,
in the pudding that there are people out there in the universe who believes Chris's actual name is Black Chris.
it's so stupid because I'm not even like dark.
Nope. But that is forever your nickname. One that you didn't even use, one that you never use, but that is your nickname to a group of people you'll never meet.
So dumb. Oh, you mean Black Chris?
Oh, yeah, we know Black Chris. Here, everyone knows Black Chris. He drinks here regularly. He gets the banana bread beer.
Love it. Delicious. Wells banana bread beer, or now it's called Eagle.
That was actually a great beer that because we were at the Slimans restaurant in Independence, Ohio, and Chris suggested this beer to me, and I'm like, banana and beer, that sounds really gross. And I decided, you know what, I'll go ahead and give it a shot. So I ordered one and I gave Chris his props. It is an actually a good beer.
It's solid. I actually just tried two new brands of beer. One was called Habitual,
Okay.
and it was delicious.
What did it taste like?
I don't really know how to explain the taste, but other than it was easy to drink, and it like wasn't like harsh on you. It was a craft beer,
Okay.
But it was delicious. And then I also had it's called Lock 15 Brewing Company.
Okay.
You'll know it by it's like a dude sitting in a chair, but it's like a clock, a grandfather clock.
Dude looks like a clock.
Delicious as well. It's another like it was just like easy to drink. Highly recommend those two. One was actually in Akron, Ohio. It's made in Akron, Ohio, the Lock 15 one.
No, I absolutely love a good beer, but I also love a good brewery at the same time. Like if you find a good brewery, one that may or may not have a food truck, one that serves food, but one that's also kind of like chill, they're not taking themselves too seriously, you're gonna end for a good time. I went and got beer the other day, and I know it was an IPA, and hold on, I can't remember the exact name because it was the first time I ever had, and I was making burgers. And I figured an IPA would be perfect for these burgers that I was making. I went to the West Side Market in Cleveland, got some actual like meat patties, and I was actually doing an actual cook-up sort of situation. So I got these beers, and I'll tell you right now, the beers paired perfectly with the burgers.
That's awesome. That's always good.
But do you have a, before we get into our topic, do you have a favorite bar or brewery that you like to partake in?
I think my easiest choice is Fatheads.
Yeah,
I
Fatheads
love
is a good one.
Fatheads. They just have the like they have like just really good food. If any of you listeners are like here in Ohio, you ever have the chance, try out Fatheads Brewery. I do believe they ship their beer throughout the states now.
I believe they do. I think there are some states that do not do it, that do not have that alcohol, but a lot of states do.
So if you have the chance, give it a shot. It's really good. Their signature beer, in my opinion, is the Bumbleberry. It's
Oh,
like a
yes.
oh yeah, it's like a blueberry flavored beer with blueberries in it. It is like fresh blueberries. It's absolutely delicious.
See, I think that my favorite bar slash brewery is definitely Platform in Columbus, Ohio. Travis, he's the one who took me there for the first time, and I have to say, great beer, great pricing, down to earth, right there on a nice little street. They have a food truck, so you can just walk up, get your food. And that was the place that I got that like you remember the convenience store drinks, the icy drinks, like the icy tea. They actually had an icy beer.
Oh, cool.
And it was terrible when it was warm, but when it was cold, it was actually it was a summer it was definitely a summer drink when it was cold.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Chris, let's go ahead and get into starting to our topics because you have a review you want to talk about.
Well, first, actually, what have you been playing lately, man?
Oh, it's funny that you say that because for since I've been out here in Pennsylvania for work, I did not actually have my power cord, but I recently I know I traveled all this way and didn't have a power cord. But I recently got my power cord, and we kind of talked about this last time, that after I beat Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I kind of felt like that was the swan song for my Xbox. However, since I've not been able to find a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X, I've been just continuing on with just little side games, but I don't want to start anything like major, if that makes sense.
For sure.
Yeah, so I'm kind of playing, getting a little indie games, continuing my other like simulation games, and just kind of like casually playing. But the game that I'm currently working my way through is Call of the Sea, and a cool little indie game that sits in the same vein of like Gone Home, Gone with the Rapture, I believe it was Firewatch, and it's a mystery adventure platform type of game. Well, not necessarily platform, but kind of a puzzler. And your character, she's trying to find what happened to her husband. At the same time, she's battling a weird disease, and then she ends up on this island where her husband was last seen. And so you have to like solve all these puzzles and all these mysteries to figure out what's going on. And I hate to say this, it's a fine game. It's an enjoyable game. Even though it only has a runtime of 6 hours, it has taken me so long to get through it.
I know how that I know how that feels. There's a few of those like short games like that that just took me longer than I thought, and it's because I get stuck on puzzles and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I don't even know if it's for me. I don't even know if it's I'm stuck on the puzzles. It's just that I beat one chapter, which is like I can probably run through a chapter in maybe 30 minutes. And I think there's like six chapters, give or take. And I beat one chapter and I'm like, well, that's enough of this game for the day.
Oh, okay. So it's hard to just keep pushing through. It's not like it's not grabbing you enough to like
No.
keep it going.
Right. That's absolutely it. It's just not grabbing me enough for me to want to keep playing it. And I'm going to finish it. I know that because it's easy achievements. And I'm for some reason, I'm addicted to now getting a 100% gamer score on everything. And I have a feeling that I'm going to enjoy the way it ends, but I don't see myself coming back to it once it's over. But before we get into the game that you're playing, have you ever played a game where, though it's a good game, you just couldn't get into it?
So, and it's because I'm not good at the type of game it is.
So
And
everything.
no, I'm actually pretty solid at most games. It's just I'm not great at platformers. I never have been.
Really?
I'm real average. Like, and real average to below average, to be real
But
with you.
you back in the day, you were a Mario type of person. You were Super Mario, you were Mario World, Galaxy.
I've lost my touch.
Mario Sunshine.
Mario Sunshine defeated me.
That
I
was
never beat
messed
that game
up.
because it was so hard at certain parts.
That was that Demon Souls heart.
The some of those like jump puzzles with the water jetpack, ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. I actually had to quit Ori in the
Ori and the
Blind
Wisp.
Forest, the first one. I think the Blind Forest or something. I don't
Okay.
remember exactly. I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. Like there was just parts where I was just like I for one was getting frustrated because I was lost,
Right.
and then at the same time I had to deal with the platforming. And so like for me that's just a no. Like if it would have just been one, if it would have just been me getting lost, sure I'll eventually power through and finish it. Or if it's just platformers and I'm not great at it, eventually I'll figure it out. But
See,
like,
you have a problem with getting lost in games because I've never actually ever had that problem. Because
I'm terrible.
this is not the first time where you've gotten lost in a game.
Oh yeah, I always get lost.
That is
It's
amazing.
a recurring thing, and my friends always joke with me about it too.
Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think you being lost comes from?
I have zero sense of direction. I don't remember anything after I get past the spot. I don't remember landmarks. So I just keep like doing stuff, and I'm like, man, I don't know where to go, and I don't know where I've been.
No, I could definitely see that because I'm the exact opposite. I've driven across the country several times, and if somebody were to leave me in the middle of like northern New York and just said, get to Southern California, but you can't use a map or a GPS, it would be pretty easy for me to do that.
You might as well just leave me in New York. I'm dying in New York at that point. But yeah, so that's the one that's defeated me. Mm-hmm. Actually, just a few months ago is when I first tried it. But yeah, right now I actually just finished the medium. And I can say without a doubt, I love the game. And I hope that they make more in this series.
You're saying this as if you're really avoiding giving a spoiler.
I am trying not to spoil this game at all. So I will be as descriptive as I can without any spoilers, because I really do believe it is worth playing.
Okay.
So if you guys haven't heard of The Medium is like a psychological horror. And when you're playing it, in like in certain areas of the game, you're playing it in two different realms. So you're in the spirit realm, and then you're in the human realm. And so when you're in the two different realms, you can see two different things when you're looking at objects, and literally both realms are completely different. So like an object that's in one realm doesn't mean it's going to be in the other one, or it'll look different, and you can only interact with it in the other realm. So you're playing as essentially a medium, a person that is looking to help spirits move along to the correct afterlife and not be stuck in that in-between state. You're playing, I believe the character's name was Marianne. Marianne is, without spoiling anything, she had a very dark past. As you play the game, that all comes to the front, so that you can understand what happened to this girl when, she was a kid. The game is filled with various puzzles, and it is absolutely so creepy at certain spots. There was one spot that it was a really good jump scare. It got me good. I will say, I was looking at something and something just bop, and I actually almost dropped the controller. it was very special that the way that they told this story. There is different objects in the environment, and different papers with things written on it, telling you more and more backstory of whoever wrote what was on the paper. They're also telling you about things that might have to do with Marianne and other characters that you've found in the world. If you don't like railroady games that where you can't really go off the beaten path too much, you will not like this game. But if you really like a good story, creepy, it's not overly scary, but it is creepy, then you will really like this game. It's not going to scare you what's that? Dead Space would scare you, or Resident Evil might. But it will, there was definitely times where I'm sitting up in my seat, horrified that something's going to get me. But overall, I would absolutely recommend this game, and I really do hope that team, Bloober, makes another one.
So by you saying that, it doesn't allow a whole lot of exploration, would you say that it's a linear type game similar to you find in Gears of War and even some parts of Last of Us?
Yeah, very linear. You basically only have one path.
Okay. Do you think that helps, or do you think that hinders the game?
No, I think it was wonderful. I love that style, because then I don't get lost.
And overall, from a technical standpoint, do you think this is a next-gen worthy game?
Yes, absolutely. No loading screens at all.
Okay.
Like literally, once you load into the game, you're not going to get another loading screen.
Really?
There are cutscenes and different things like that. The simultaneous realm thing, I feel like you definitely need like the next gen hardware to run something like that. I could see that being it, because essentially it's like you're running two different games on one screen at the same time.
Right.
So I do feel like it is indeed a next gen game, because I've never played anything like that. The only knock I would actually give the Bluebird team on this game is there isn't, say, like boss battles or anything like that.
Actually, I'm fine with that.
And it's a very minor knock for me, because I actually was okay with it not being like that.
It was just kind of a surprise to you that a game of this caliber just did without it.
Right. Yes. It was just, it was definitely a little bit of a shock. But overall, fantastic game. Would recommend to anyone who wants to play something like that.
Okay. Are you going to give it a score, a 1 out of 5, a letter grade? Are you going to give it anything like that?
So if I was going to rate it out of 10, I'd say a 9. I thought it was phenomenal.
A 9 out of 10. That's high. And especially if you're considering this is a, I believe this is Xbox very first Series X exclusive.
Yeah, Series X and PC,
I believe. Do you think the medium is a good, for people who are out there who are still on the fence about upgrading to next gen, do you think this is a good entry into the console? Or is it might be just because of that genre that it sits in, it may not be right for everyone?
It's definitely not going to be right for everyone. And then you also have to keep in mind that it's a short story.
How short is it?
8 to 10 hours.
Oh, that is a short story. But I think with a linear game, 8 to 10 hours is perfectly fine.
Exactly. I played A Plague's Tale, Tale of Two Something. I forget the name of it.
Tale of Two Brothers?
No.
Tale of Two Plagues.
Tale of Innocence.
Nah, I definitely got that one wrong.
A Plague Tale Innocence is the name of it.
Okay.
And that was the same. It was very similar, linear, puzzle-driven game. That one had boss fights, though.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of action combat thrown in there. And it was maybe 12 to 14 hours. And honestly, if it would have went any longer than that, I wouldn't have liked it.
Really? The medium or the other game?
The other game. So, like, I think linear games, depending on how it was done, I think they definitely have a time span where it just needs to end.
Right.
And the medium ended exactly where I thought it should end. They told a good story. They got to the end. And you felt like you were complete. I will say it did leave room for, it was a cliffhanger ending. That's okay. All I will say without spoiling anything.
Yeah, that's a spoiler right there, bro. Delete this segment.
That is not a spoiler.
No, I think with this expectation that almost every game, as long as it does anywhere in decent in sales, it's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, I fully agree that it should be a thing. I honestly kind of hope Microsoft buys them, and so that they can put together a bigger team, and they can really expand on this foundation they built with this game.
All right. Well, there goes the Chris's score. If you have the opportunity, be sure to pick up the medium on Xbox Series X as well as PC. And is that game available on Game Pass?
It sure is. Day one, baby.
Day one Game Pass. You ain't got to pay a nickel for it. But let's go ahead and let's change the pace a little bit, because you did mention boss battles. And there was a trailer that came out of an amazing looking game called Black Myth Wukong. I don't know. Yes. So you've seen this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This game. I believe it was at either a game show or that digital like E3 or something. Mm-hmm. There was something last year that I saw this on and I was looking at it. I was like, I need to play this game.
Yeah, I think I remember that because you were right. It was an online like game show type. I think it was like a game VG, not the VGA Awards. It was like some weird game award because there's been 1,000 of them where they announced. And Black Myth Wukong is an upcoming action role-playing game by Chinese indie developer Game Science based on the classical 16th century Chinese novel Journey to the West. It's utilizing the Unreal Engine 4. It is going to – and here's the kicker. When I first saw this game, Chris, I 100% thought this is the reason for me to buy a PS5.
Yeah.
This one is 100% on it. This one is, if there's any game that is going to make me jump consoles, this would have been it. However, this is not a PlayStation 5 exclusive.
It's not.
Nope. It is going to be PS5, Xbox Series X and S, as well as Microsoft Windows. So it's multi-platformed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad that this team pushed and got that. Just so everyone can experience it if they so choose.
Yeah, and I think that by them just limiting it to one particular console, I think that they really would be losing out on the opportunity for everyone to get an opportunity to experience this, especially a game that looks this amazing coming from an indie developer.
Yeah, so like if you guys haven't seen the trailer, please go check it out. It's Black Myth Wukong, and like I said, by the team Game Science. And it's got beautiful, beautiful visuals. And the combat looks so great because it's going to be an action RPG game.
So when you first saw the trailer, what was the first thing that came? What was your first thoughts on this?
I was like, this is like some like Zodiac kind of stuff, some like Chinese Zodiac stuff. I just like, man, I just want to really play this and just go beat on monster like this dude is doing.
No, like when I first saw the trailer, I am like, this reminds me of those Chinese movies where there's the lone warrior. He's going out to battle against the odds. And I actually got nostalgic for those kind of films.
Okay.
Because we have always heard the story of like the fighting monkey, the fighting tiger, and all those things, drunken fist. But I felt like this is actually going to bring that Chinese genre into the mix, making it an actual player in the realm. And I'm not saying that China's not a video game player, but in the Western world, the United States, what is probably the biggest Chinese game you can think of?
League of Legends.
Okay, that's fair. Can't argue with that one. That is.
I'm pretty sure that's Chinese, right?
Better be, or else you about to be telling some lies on this podcast.
I don't think it's Korean.
Nope. That's all you. You look that up, and while he's looking that up, they released some new details and some pretty interesting pieces of information about this game. So. The first piece of information is that the Black Myth Wukong has been in development for 2 years so far. So the excellent gameplay that we've seen is only 2 years in development. That's
insane.
That is a quarter of the time Cyberpunk is in development.
Oh, poor Cyberpunk.
I have a feeling it's going to have less bugs than Cyberpunk did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just looked them up because they're owned by Tencent. Tencent is a Chinese company.
Okay, so League of Legends. So this is not necessarily going to be anything. This is not bringing China into the fold, but this is still a massive thing coming out of the industry.
Of course. I can't imagine people not really wanting to play it. Like, now, mind you, action RPGs aren't for everyone.
That is correct.
But it just looks so cool.
I actually would much rather have this action RPG than the typical turn-based JRPGs.
Right.
I hate that
right.
so much.
I know you do. I love it. I'm playing one right now.
Let me handle it. I can take down this motherfucker by myself. That was the reason why I did not immediately buy Yakuza Like a Dragon, because I found out that it was turn-based.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to see that it's turn-based. I think it's going to be fit really well.
No, it doesn't. You needed Yakuza Zero was fine with the way it, the battle style, the way it fought, and then for them to change that entire system, I don't like it. But anywho, back to Black Myth. The team is aiming to release the game in no less than 3 years from now, so they're giving it plenty of development time.
5 years. Okay.
Yep. Game Science is aiming for more than 15 hours of playtime, which for an action RPG that looks like this level, I think that's kind of a letdown.
It is actually a letdown for it to be that short. I didn't actually see that. I would like to see it be kind of on the realms with like God of War, with like time played of like an expansive like world that you can explore.
Oh, absolutely.
You get all these different boss fights with different varying difficulty bosses. And like just minions to just mop as you move along to each boss. And just a good story. So I was actually more hoping for 30 to 35 to
Yeah,
be like real. I
that's
think
what I
that
could
would
say.
be more realistic.
Yeah, I could definitely see the 30 to 35 mark, but I also on the other side of that coin, I also was like, if you guys can tell a good, concise story in 15 hours, I'm fine with that.
I agree. I do hope that it like with it being so short that it feels right when it ends. Like
Right.
you're not set sitting there waiting for more. And I hope that they price it effectively.
What do you mean, price it?
If it's going to be only 10, 15 hours, it better not be $60.
If you're on the PS5, it's going to be 70. And if you're on
If
Xbox, it's going to be on Game Pass.
you're on
And if you're on PC, you're going to steal it.
Facts, facts.
I hate to be the one that says it, but somebody's got to. The only way people these game companies are making money is because of Sony.
Silly, just silly.
Yeah, so yeah, anywho, I don't mind it being a shorter runtime, but what I really hope they don't do is I hope they don't bog. Okay, yeah, it's a 15-hour storyline, but here's 100 hours of you collecting stuff. That is so dumb.
That's garbage.
Don't do that.
MMOs do that garbage, and I get mad every time I see it.
Yeah, understandable. The team plans on including over 100 enemy types in the final game, including bosses. So, folks, I guess in that, so that's quite interesting. 15 hours of playtime and over 100 different enemy types.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That's it seems like a lot, but I trust what from what we're saying that they're going to do a fantastic job with that. But at the same time, I wouldn't spend all this time developing enemies that look different, but they actually play the same.
I
Go ahead.
a little tangent
Oh,
here.
I can hear.
So if you haven't seen the game and it's finally coming out this year, within the next month or two, it's called Biomutant and it's a action RPG and its character creator is really cool
Oh,
looking.
Biomutant with the star with Star Fox.
Yeah, you can like make your character your character is essentially an animal of some sort and depending on which like what type of characteristics you choose, it'll change how your character looks.
Really?
So it's a really cool looking game and I've been waiting for it to come out for a long time now. And if you're itching to play a little bit of a action RPG, this would be the one I would recommend. It comes out in May 25th, and
Well,
it's made by Experiment 101.
you can definitely play that while you're waiting for Black Myth because Black Myth is not around the corner.
Exactly.
All right, but let me give you a couple more details about Black Myth before we switch over to a different topic.
Sure.
So the playtime of Blackwood Mountain is planned to be 30 to 60 minutes on normal difficulty. Hold on. Let me go back. The trailer area that we saw in the actual trailer is called Blackwood Mountain and took 6 months to build. The playtime of Blackwind Mountain is planned to be 30 to 60 minutes on normal difficulty. It'll be one of the
Tutorial.
game's earlier levels. Okay, so that's not.
Yeah.
Awful. But 4 to 5 versions of the Blackwind Mountain trailer were created before the demos we've seen was deemed ready for release. And the demo is entirely playable and can be used using different approaches. Fighting enemies instead of transforming into golden cicadas to avoid them, for instance. The player can use multiple different transformations during the wolf boss fight, more than one that's shown in the trailer. And the game currently features a test area nicknamed Toilet that includes 4 other bosses not shown in the trailer.
Toilet.
Oh, and here's another one for you. Black Myth Wukong is the first of 3 planned Black Myth games, each one drawing on different Chinese tales.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they want to create like their own like little universe of this.
Yeah, I really like that.
So yeah, I think that Black Myth is one of those games we're gonna become. It's gonna be our new cyberpunk.
For sure.
We wish them the very best in the development. If you guys want us to play it before you release it, we'll be happy to do that. You can even put an embargo on us. We don't care.
Yep, won't say a word.
And speaking of games where an embargo was put out, we have to talk about the EA elephant in the room.
Oh my God.
Chris, how do you feel about this? Because this is more your element than mine.
Yeah. So, all right. If you guys hadn't heard, EA this week, so this is the week of February 10th that we're recording this episode. EA is supposed to make their final decision this week whether they're going to continue working on Anthem or if they're going to completely scrap the game. So essentially, this game came out and people were happy with the flying and the combat, I believe. But there was a lackluster like end game and they weren't happy with the loot. And so after release, like I'm saying, like maybe 5-6 months after release, the community was up in arms. Basically, anyone that had the game wasn't playing it anymore. They were supposed to have this big cataclysm event. It came out and it was only active for a specific amount of time. Then they just took it offline and never had an event afterwards of any sort. And then they eventually were like, well, we need to fix this game, blah, 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 blah. We're going to work on it. And then they've just been working on it and haven't said much. There's been a little bit on Reddit about it, but just very little tidbits. So now they come out this week. Their shareholders and them are trying to figure out whether they want to continue this, working on this or not.
Which makes you ask the question, if you guys were working on improving this, why are you guys going to have a meeting this week to decide whether or not to keep working or improving this when you haven't actually improved it?
Yeah, they've done nothing. They haven't released any updates.
EA being EA, and this is why I cannot stand them. Because when Anthem was first announced at E3, it had one of the most interesting, versatile trailers. It walked into the room, recognized what was going on with Destiny. It was just like, we're going to be the new Destiny. We're the Destiny killer. Yep. And they weren't. The game, like almost at every E3, the game that was promised and the game that was delivered, it was kind of like you ordered it off Wish.
Oh my God, that's a funny comparison.
I can kind of see what you guys were going for, but you didn't even get close to hitting the mark.
Yeah, and people were not happy. So like for me, like I haven't played it yet. I do, like, because I have Game Pass, I can download it and play it. It is actually included in Game Pass now.
Right.
I haven't played it because I heard all the uproar about it. Now, mind you, I am going to try and play it to at least do the story mode. I don't want to do anything outside of that, just to see how their foundation is. You know what I mean?
Well, can you and I play Anthem being on 2 different Xboxes?
Yeah, we should be able to. I played Dead by Daylight with my buddy who's on a regular Xbox One.
Well, do you want to play? You and I want to play Anthem to see if we can play the storyline and see give a review next time.
Yeah, we can try.
Let's give it a shot. Let's because by the time they hear this next episode, they probably would have decided to kill it off. So
hopefully not.
Well, at least we can say whether or not they kill it off. But my question to you, Chris, is do you think Anthem deserves to die?
No. From what I've seen of it, and I did play the beta. That was my only experience with the game. You have a good foundation. You just need to fix the problems, much like what Destiny had a problem with. Yep. And they just keep going back to the drawing board and trying to fix it. Let me tell you today, it's still not fixed, but a lot of people love it.
Yep, a lot of people do like it.
So if you fix it, they will come. And so fix your stuff, and we the gamers will decide whether we think it should be continue or not. We should be at least being given that option. They shouldn't just kill it because they released a bad game.
Yeah, I think that EA really should be asking the fans, if we were to go ahead, instead of us worrying about making another quote-unquote Destiny killer, they really should be asking the fans, what would you guys like to do? Do you guys want us to make this game as good as the game we promised? Or do you think that the trust has been lost and for us to just close out the servers, trash the IP, and just delete the source code?
Right.
And honestly, I'm actually going to agree with you, Chris. I think that you have a basis of a good product here.
Mm-hmm.
And as we saw with No Man's Sky, as we saw with Destiny, yep. and as we're yep. hoping to see with Cyberpunk, just because you have a bad start does not mean you have to have a bad finish.
Exactly. Even Sea of Thieves ran through the same exact thing.
Sea of Thieves ran the same problem.
It was very bare bones when you first played it. You could have a good, you still could have a good time, but at some point, you just have to fix the game and add more content and stuff to it. And they haven't done either of those things.
Well, I feel like knowing that it's EA, they're going to add more content and then sell it back to you for $40.
They better not.
EA, if you were listening to this, well, I think EA is a subscriber to ours. EA, if you're listening, if you charge $40 for the DLC, you can scrap the game, in my opinion, because... I don't want to be the bad guy here. However, I think that that's complete and utter BS that you released a product that the consumer did not like. By you going ahead and fixing the product to what you promised, we should not be buying that a second time.
I agree. Whatever the update, it's called an Anthem 2.0 update is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
That update's for sure got to be free, which I'm 100% positive it will be. And you guys, just for like showing goodwill, you should include one more DLC after that for free. After that, do whatever you want.
I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree with that. And I think that if EA decides to rebuild Anthem from the ground up and decides to bring about improvement, they should re-release it at the next E3, which is going digital this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they can rebuild the excitement back up, saying this game is out, saying we've listened to the community, we've made improvements, and all the updates and DLC is going to be free, available today.
Yeah, that would be hype. And that would, because of what's the name of that event?
E3.
I'm like, what the hell? I'm going, I got EA and E3 on the brain. E3 is a very widely watched show at this moment. It's the main gaming show that everyone loves to watch.
Absolutely. So
if you want to bring excitement back to your game, that is definitely the spot to do it.
Yeah, before we get into our next topic, we got to talk about E3. Because that is an event I've always wanted to go to, and I've never had the opportunity.
Me too.
And
I've got one thing for you.
Yeah.
Whenever it is back, we can actually go not have to pay for the tickets to get in.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Because I work in software. I guess there is a software pass or something, and people in my field can get in without charge.
Hey, legit.
One of my buddies did it.
Well, heck, if you can get us into E3, I'll get us the Airbnb or hotel. How about that? Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair.
Because I don't pay for that. So it works out really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I think that with E3 being all online this year, I think it's going to give people a reason to move it online going forward. Because let's be honest, you really don't need the whole stage, Rick and Monroe out in California. You really don't need it. It's more along the lines for like us nerds to go there and play these demos, which are available like on our regular consoles anyway. But I think what makes E3 great is the excitement, the surprises and the unknowns.
Yeah, it definitely does. The week before E3, I avoid social media. I don't want any spoilers. I just want to see it and see what I see.
See, my only problem with E3 is just like I hate waiting for it to come around every year. It's like my Christmas.
Oh, dude, I always take the day off.
I've never been able to take the day off because I always have to do some kind of unavoidable, no blackout date, PTO time. Every single time E3, they always put me in a no blackout PTO. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so hopefully this year, since it being online and since me working remotely, it'll depend what happens over the next couple months. With me being able to work remotely, I'm definitely going to just be like, yo, I'm putting this on the TV. Don't ask me no questions. Go to my number two companion, do whatever y'all need to do. Just leave me alone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
But so let's move to the next topic.
All right. What's our next topic, brother, man? What you want to talk?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
This is bullshit.
People, for the love of God, stop buying Grand Theft Auto 5.
I think that this is now becoming a joke because
it's crazy to me, dude.
I hopped in Grand Theft Auto 5 online not like a couple weeks back, and it was dead AF. You mean to tell me that this year alone they sold more copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 than they did when it was released in 2013?
Ridiculous. I cannot stress the fact of this. You guys realize because you guys keep buying Grand Theft Auto 5, they're going to take their sweet old time on Grand Theft Auto 6 because they're getting nonstop revenue from you guys in Grand Theft Auto 5.
I know Rockstar is sitting there just like, well, damn, we didn't expect it to last this long. Shit, we might as well get ready. Let's go ahead and start getting ready. Oh, you know what would really burn me up, Chris?
What?
If at E3, if Rockstar announced a remastered Grand Theft Auto 5, I will never play a Rockstar product again if they did some shit like that.
Bro, this game has survived. It's outlived consoles. It came out with the PlayStation 3 and 360. Mm-hmm. And you're kidding me that this damn game is still going to this day.
Someone said it best. Somebody was just like, Grand Theft Auto 5 has outpassed three presidents.
It's so bad, dude. So, people, if you're a Grand Theft Auto 5 player and you've owned it for a long time, I'm not talking to you.
No, we're not talking.
I'm talking to the new ones. You've probably had it like six times at this point, and you keep buying this damn game. Stop it. Let it die.
I think I know why 2020 was such a big year for Grand Theft Auto 5, because everybody was trapped at home. And I guarantee parents were just like, you know what? Get it. Just get it. Get out of my face. Get the goddamn game. I don't care. Just buy it. I don't care if you shoot stuff. Get out of my face.
Oh, my God.
So as of right now, Rockstar Games. Let's see. Grand Theft Auto 5 video games sold 20 million units in 2020, bringing its total sales to 140 million since the initial release.
Ridiculous.
That means that everybody in Russia owns a copy of Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's literally insane.
Literally. And
you guys need to stop. You can't let these companies milk you like this because they will.
Also, we have this because this is people who are buying it new, mind you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, these aren't people who are going to GameStop and picking up a used copy. These are people who are actually getting a brand new copy of they're actually putting their hard-earned money down on a game that is 7 years old.
Bro, it was free last year on the Epic Store. Just grabbed it then. That's what I did.
No. People got their stimulus checks.
Let me put it in Grand Theft Auto and Grand Theft Auto Bucks.
Hey, I ain't paying for it. Hell, the U.S. government is subsidizing all of Rockstar right now. You brought up a great point. Because Grand Theft Auto 5 is continuously being a moneymaker for Rockstar, because Red Dead Redemption ain't pulling these numbers.
No.
Because Grand Theft Auto 5 is continuously doing these numbers for Rockstar, Rockstar doesn't really need to innovate, do they? They don't need to come up with something new. They don't really need to push the boundaries like they used to. All they need to do is just slap a new color of paint on something they already do and resell it back out, and it'll keep selling.
That's a fact. The issue I have with this is this damn game that's now, what, 8 years old?
Yep, 2021, 8 years old.
This game that's 8 years old, Red Dead Redemption 2 released, what, like a year or two ago?
It might have been, hold on, let me look it up. It might have been 2 years ago now.
I think it was about 2 years ago, yeah, because it definitely wasn't last year. Whatever. It hasn't seen nearly the amount of updates that Grand Theft Auto 5 has, because no one's playing Red Dead Redemption 2, which is a damn good game.
Yeah.
And so because people are so obsessed with GTA 5, somehow, some way, I can't knock you for like really liking the game, but I can knock you you have the game. You had the game on whatever console originally, and then 8 years later, you decide to buy it again. And now, essentially, because Rockstar and Take-Two realize that this damn game is such a cash cow, they're not even going to put updates in a game that's newer and deserves some updates.
So Red Dead Redemption 2 has been around for 3 years. It's been around since 2018.
Has nowhere near the amount of updates that GTA 5
has. And has nowhere near the acclaim, the sales, anything like that. No. And okay, I get Grand Theft Auto 5 when it came out in 2013 was fun. It was fine. It was cool because it was a Grand Theft Auto game. Now, not so much. Now it is not as it's old. It is old and it looks old.
Yeah, it's on an outdated engine, I'm sure, at this point, whatever it was designed on. There's just so much that they can do now, and we're stuck in the past with GTA 5, which again came out with the 360 and the PlayStation 3. Well, come on.
Yeah, and the problem that I have with this is that Rockstar really only makes at this current moment, because people are saying they're gonna be making a bully game. Well, that hasn't been announced yet. But as of right now, Rockstar only makes Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar used to have a much bigger catalog.
Yeah, they did.
Rockstar had Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead Redemption, L.A. Noir, Bully, mm-hmm. Max Payne, Manhunt, The Warriors, the Midnight Club Racing Series, which they definitely murdered off. Yep. Let's see here. They had Smuggler's Run. They've had Agent. They've had a lot of games which have just fallen off. State of Emergency, which is another one I remember.
Oh, yeah. I remember that game.
I think that as a consumer still buying these products, we only have ourselves to blame for Rockstar having no reason to bring back their IPs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's absurd to think that this game is going to get a next gen update, and it is 100% in the works. So they already said that it is. And I cannot believe that it's going to get a next gen update. Just let the game die. But they won't, because it's a cash cow.
It is a cash cow, and we can't even blame them.
No, I would do the same thing if I was them. But, like, us as gamers need to stop them. we need to stop buying the damn game.
Yeah, and as people who have a platform, we have to say, guys, yes, we all love Grand Theft Auto 5. Yes,
yeah.
We all love stealing a plane and crashing it into a random stranger. Absolutely. So they can call us the N-word. We understand where you're coming from. However, why don't you guys stop buying it? Hold off. It's not going anywhere until Rockstar Games is going to give us more products, because we're hungry for them. We do love Rockstar. We love what the products Rockstar puts out, but we love for them to actually put out products. We can't let them get lazy. We can't let them start resting.
Yes.
Because hell, if we did this to Grand Theft Auto 4, if we bought it like we're doing with Grand Theft Auto 5, they would still be pushing Grand Theft Auto 4 on us. Thank God they're not doing that, because that was 2018.
Please no.
Because at this point, I have a distinct feeling Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to aim for the 10-year mark.
It'll make it.
It actually will make it, because Grand Theft Auto 6 is not right around the corner. Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to be a 10-year cash cow for Rockstar. And now that I've said that out loud, I hope Grand Theft Auto 6 sucks.
No, don't let that game suck, because I want to play it.
Yeah, I'm going to play it too. I don't. Before we go, I just want to do two quick. We'll do one quick side topic.
Yeah.
So there was an update on the Apple Car.
Oh yeah, this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the update is there is no Apple Car. Hyundai and Kia and Apple are no longer doing a deal.
We're crazy. I didn't understand why they backed out. I was reading the article and I didn't understand what it was trying to say.
Yeah, it didn't really, like, everything I've read, it doesn't really elaborate as to why it didn't work out. It just was like, we're okay. We don't need to do this. I don't know. I think it might have been on Hyundai's side. And I think the reasoning would have been, I'm assuming Hyundai was under the assumption that they could make the car and Apple would just kind of like do what they needed to do with it.
Right.
And it would have fallen underneath the Kia brand.
Yeah. Here's the statement. This is what Bloomberg reported. He said that Hyundai and Apple hit the brakes on their negotiations, saying that Apple was upset by Hyundai's erroneous statement last month. So I'm guessing it's talking about where they said that they were 100% in the works working on the Apple Car. I guess they didn't like that.
So they didn't like you guys telling the truth?
Yeah, I guess so.
So we're going to go ahead and end this deal because you guys spoke that we have a deal. They're Nintendo. Yeah,
they, I was about to say, they pulled the Nintendo effect.
Apple is going to make a car together.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
But would you buy an Apple Car?
No.
I don't think I would either.
I'm not invested in that ecosystem like that. I have the phone and that's it. And the phone I only have because I got a $1,400 phone for $300.
Hey, shout out.
So like outside that, like, no. Mm-mm.
See, I have a weird time thinking of companies that are not car companies making a car, because there's already a well-established car makers out there. They know what they're doing. And have Apple trying to go out there and make a car, it just, I'm okay. I also don't really need like a new startup brand. No. I don't. And then also, speaking of cars, do you know what Stellantis is?
I do not.
Stellantis, or Stellantis, however you want to pronounce it, is the new Chrysler.
Okay.
So Stellantis is a multinational automotive manufacturing corporation headquartered in Amsterdam, Netherlands. It was established on January 16th, 2021, by merging Fiat Chrysler Automobiles and the PSA Group, which consists of Peugeot, Opel, Citroën, Dodge, Lancia. So basically, Chrysler, Stellantis, is now a massive auto manufacturer of automobiles.
Okay.
Do you know how many vehicles Chrysler currently makes?
No. I have no idea.
Two.
Oh.
It makes the Chrysler 300 and the Chrysler Pacific minivan.
Oh, that's garbage. That's a terrible lineup.
Yeah, the question was asked this week. They were like, what should happen to Chrysler in this big new deal? Now that all these companies are merged together, should they allow Chrysler just to kind of like fade into obscurity and just die off?
Yeah, I think so.
And I am going to disagree, Chris.
Hey, man, they're not pulling anything.
They really don't. Okay, so I agree. They actually have no real products because the 300 has been around since like the 300. I actually think the Chrysler 300 is the only thing that's been around longer than Grand Theft Auto 5. Like Chrysler 300 can now legally drink and vote.
I will say real quick that the Chrysler 300 is a decent looking car.
I like the way it looks. I sat in one and I felt that it was just outdated. And yes. I sat in the Chrysler Pacifica minivan, and they do come in hybrids. And I thought that was actually kind of a neat. If I had a bunch of kids and hated my life, I would buy one of those.
Yeah.
But I thought that what Chrysler should do, or the Stellantis brand should do, is they should make Chrysler their electric spearhead company. Like the going towards electric cars.
And bring
Chrysler upstream in make them a Tesla competitor, make them a BMW competitor, but just only electric cars only. Because with Dodge, you don't need a 300. Again, they have Peugeot, Chrysler, Opel, Citroën, Lancia, Dodge, Maserati, Vauxhall, a Barth, Fiat. So they have all those different brands available to them, and not including Jeep. You really make Chrysler your high-end luxury car fighter that's going to be taking on the likes of Cadillac, BMW, because, yeah, you have Maserati, but Maserati's not fighting with Cadillac.
No, not at all.
But I would hate to see Chrysler die because I think that Chrysler is an American staple, even though they only sell two cars now. Which is...
I guess I wouldn't put them as a staple, but the idea to use them for an electric, make them the primary electric car, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think that would help bring Chrysler back into relevancy. I think that... with all of these different brands, I'm sure there's plenty of part sharing that can be going on. And I think that with a Chrysler dealership network, and there's already dealerships set up, I think it would just be, just keep it going with all this additional money we're bringing in, with all these Jeeps we're selling. Let's do Chrysler a favor and let's start actually injecting life back into Chrysler.
For sure. For sure.
And knowing Chrysler, it's going to be electric Chrysler PT Cruisers for the range of 80 miles.
Oh my God, the PT Cruiser.
Hey, America's favorite car.
All right. Well, I think on that note, I think we've covered all our bases today. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree.
All right. Let's do the outro in here. So thanks again for joining us here, the Uninformed Gamers. I again am Chris or Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games, KAMELION. And the same on YouTube. And I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/iChameleonI.
And I am Devin. You can find me on Xbox Live, gamertag Darkness Tiger. And also be sure to follow our Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. And the reason we are not posting a whole lot right now is because I'm currently locked out of the account.
Okay.
And on that bombshell, feel free to follow us, and I'll be back in tomorrow. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
See you, folks.